Matthew Holt, the healthcare blog, back with a guy I've never interviewed before. I'm kidding. This is Glenn Tillman, CEO of Transcarent, and we are catching up because since I've actually last had you on here, Glenn, it's been a while. You've done some things, including spent a bit of money on buying up one a previous rival, now part of Transcarent, Accolade. So, and then there is a lot happening in the world, but let's start with Transcarent and Accolade. An over $600 million acquisition, which is not chump change, but you got it kind of cheaper than it was a few months before that, and it's added something. It was coasting along with something in the $400 million revenue, so a real company with real growth going on there. Talk to me. It's pretty obvious to me why you did it. Enables you to get into a lot of customers and markets more quickly, but it also got you some more capabilities. The many capabilities that look somewhat similar to what Transcarent already had. So, can you break it down to me so that the why and then the what?
Sure. Well, one, it's always great to see you, and it
You
has
too.
been too long. So appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. I think this is really going to be, when we look back at it a few years from now, transformational, not just for Transcarent, but also for the industry in its entirety. When you think about bringing the companies together, first and foremost, the fact that this was completed on what was Tariff Tuesday. It was
Great timing.
the largest transaction done in the US that day, I believe, and over $500 million, $620 million. And I think it was completed because there was so much interest in seeing the companies come together, seeing what we could create. And you talked about the reason. First and foremost, the ability to get so many great people doing what they do every day. And I always think that the core of a merger is about people. And this is not an acquisition, it's a merger. Why? If you look at the go forward management team all selected today, what you'll see is a blending of both businesses and more capabilities than we've ever had. So, number one, people. Number two, capabilities. They had a number of things that we didn't have. They had advocacy. They're a leader in advocacy. We didn't have that. They had, expert medical opinion, the leader in the entire space, second MD. And so that was really good. And then in terms of kind of going forward, they also had number three, if we think about it, they had the ability to do virtual primary care, both for companies, but also direct to consumer. So three things we didn't have, zero overlap from that perspective. And last but not least, they had some extremely well-developed capabilities to do personalization, use data to actually do personalization. And so all those capabilities fit perfectly into what we had. And so when you look at that, and then last but not least, kind of where you started, and not to leave commercial out, they have an extraordinary base of clients, which we're happy to now be able to market to. So when you put together their capabilities and our capabilities, both wayfinding and the leader in generative AI that's actually making a difference for people, paired with care experiences, that really makes for a nice fit. It also gets us to a scale that's substantial. We've talked about doing more than $500 million in revenue. Very important. We've talked about hitting profitability, and so all those things are important in terms of the next step of where the industry is going. But this allows us, both companies, we're really focused on three things. One, creating an experience that people don't just like, they love. That's really important because if people don't like the experience, they don't use it, you don't get the benefit. Second, a focus on quality first. And that is delivering high quality care. And last but not least, in terms of looking at that, doing it at literally a lower cost, not bending the curve. We hear about we're going to bend the curve, we're going to slow the rate of increase. That's not going to get it done. What we have to do is actually reduce the cost. And if you look at our premier clients using the entire platform, they are driving their cost of healthcare down, not reducing the increase, driving it down. So that's what we're really excited about. The other thing I'd say is, having done just a few of these, and you have, I notice a little gray hair. I have some too, and
No.
both of us have been around, and I've done a few of these, and you learn some things. And one of the things you learn is day one to make sure you're ready to go, not that you're figuring it out. So we have the leadership team, we have the benefits worked out, we have everything we need to do, and we're off and running. And one of the commitments we've made to our clients is there's no reduction. You don't lose anything. This is all about you have more choice and more access than you ever had before from either one of the companies standalone.
So let's talk a bit about that. I want to just go into one specific thing, which is that you had purchased 98.6, which was sort of text-based communication with clinicians. They had PlushCare, which was a company, by the way, Health 2.0 was PlushCare's first ever customer way back when. And I have a funny story, which isn't funny, about my lack of taking on some being on their note back in the day. But anyway, we'll ignore that for a second. How Matthew gave up lots of money when he should have made some is another story. But they had that telehealth capability. What it looks like to me, and you can tell me how distinct those two things are, and obviously a lot of what is in Wayfinding, the AI platform, came out of 98.6. But I mean, what is it seems to me that everyone in the space, and now turbocharged, have been moving to saying we can essentially be the primary care doc for our customers and then do all this other stuff. So is that right? Is that where you're going for? And then, or are most people you're expecting going to use other primary care doctors and just use you for urgent care or what have you? And then what does that enable you to do? Because my impression has always been the primary care doctor should be the ultimate navigator, if I can say that word. But it hasn't always happened. So how is that? How do you foresee that part of the business playing out?
This is about five questions you've asked
Yeah,
in
I
one
know.
question,
But the question is really, how does primary care fit?
I got it. So first and foremost, you talked about our acquisition of 98.6, and that was an acquisition as opposed to the merger we're doing now. What did we like about 98.6? So everyone said, well, this gives you great chat capabilities to answer questions in what we now call care in 60 seconds. What they didn't understand was we were able to acquire a database of 5 years of documented history that we can now feed into our LLMs to make us better and smarter about how we provide care. So no one really understood that asset that we were getting, which was worth the cost of the entire company, as we've come to find out. So that's number one. So then we develop Wayfinding. But if you think about the experience that you and everyone else wants, here's what it is. Something goes wrong. You have a health challenge, and you go to your phone, and you're going to your phone, and you pick up your phone, and you simply ask a question. Now, you can get a number of answers. That question might be an AI answer, which is, hey, I have a sinus infection, I think. And that sinus infection that I think I have is because I have a headache and my sinuses hurt and I'm getting some discharge. And the AI might say, that sounds like a sinus infection. Now you might choose to say, I want to chat with a doc, a real doc, and I want to do it right now because I'm busy, I'm moving, I'm working at a factory, I'm using my hands. I can't sit in front of a screen like we're doing today. That's available today from Transcarent, called Care in 60 Seconds. But you might also want to say, I want to schedule a visit and do a video consult like we're doing now with a doctor, and I want it to be the same doctor I always use. That now is available. That was available from Accolade. We did not have it. They didn't have Care in 60 Seconds. But you may go one step further. If you're working at Apple, you have docs on site. You might say, I want to work with one of the docs on site, or I want to work with a third party on site provider. Can you schedule that appointment for me? The answer is yes, we can. Or you may want to say, I want to go to One Medical or another third party provider, or I want to go to my own doctor. All of that, one transaction, one place for all your health and care, available, and that's what we've created. So the answer is there's not one answer because everybody needs something differently, and each of those is a separate price point. Companies might say if you do care in 60 seconds, it's faster for you, it's better for us, it keeps you out of the ER. All day long, we'll pay for that. They might say if you want to do a telehealth visit or virtual primary care, we've got to do a copay. Every company is going to handle it different, every individual. Our job is to give you choice, put the consumer back in charge of their care. And let me say that our technology, the investments we've made, are allowing us to do that in every area. Let me give you one more example, and no one can do this. No one can do what I just described. No one can do what I'm about to describe. You get a prescription. Your phone all of a sudden buzzes, and you get a choice. And choice is what's important here, Matthew. The choice says, would you like to go to your normal place to pick up the prescription? CVS, Walgreens, Walmart. You might say yes. Second choice, there's a coupon for the medication you're taking. Would you like to take advantage of that? It's 1.2 miles away from where you're standing now. You might say yes. Here's the third one. Would you like it delivered to your home from Amazon? Number four is, would you like to sign up for mail order? Now, with one touch, all of those are now available to you, not in the future, today. So again, that's what's called being empowered by technology. But the other piece of that is it's not just technology. We're making our doctors much more available, much faster than ever before. And so that's what the future needs to look like. And we're delivering that. When people see that, when they see wayfinding, that's a differentiator. And that's just so far beyond what traditional navigation used to be, which is call us and we'll try to figure it out for you, but we're confused too. I mean, the reality is faster than you can snap your finger, I can not only tell you that your benefit might be 80-20, but I can tell you exactly what it will cost you right now for that procedure because I'm hooked into your accumulator. I know what the procedure costs. And again, it's about empowering people with information and giving them better access. So this is the difference between a flip phone, which you remember, Matthew. I don't really remember it, but you remember
Yeah,
that. But the flip
you
phone
missed
only
the
did one
90s.
thing. The iPhone did everything. And this is that difference. We're seeing a generational, transformational change, and Transcarent's leading it.
So, I mean, I think that's great. And there is, you know, speaking of somebody who has both myself and kids and family, you know, the mess that is pharmacy alone, you know, fixing that and integrating that and how that hasn't been integrated with primary care before. You know, that's the huge consumer convenience. But you also said we're saving money, right? We're doing this for less at our big clients. There's been a lot of attempts over the years, as you very well know, you know, Kaiser or from 1937 or when the Kaiser started onwards, right, to try to do sort of primary care based, getting to the right answer first, getting the cheaper answers, getting to the right surgery, not the wrong surgery, all that kind of stuff. Where do you think that you're seeing the savings? Where do you think the approach to Transcarent now with Accolade has is generating those savings for those customers?
We're seeing the savings across the board in virtually every service we provide. So let's start off with number one, giving people rapid access to care leads to better decisions. And so Care in 60 seconds not only saves all of us time, individuals time, but it also gets people information faster and better. And I can use a very personal example. You know, my youngest son, who's not so young anymore, but he still has type 1 diabetes.
That probably won't
And
go away, I hear. Maybe
well,
I know you work with
you know
people on
what? We're,
diabetes fund.
we are
Maybe it
gonna
will, but not for a while.
we we are gonna find a cure for it. We're spending a lot of time and energy and effort to do that, and we're getting closer. But when something would happen with him, and it was the middle of the night, and we couldn't reach a physician, we were on the way to the ER. Thousands of dollars. Today, that would be handled instantly by one of our doctors. And that would prevent just that kind of experience. And there are lots of situations like that. If we move to pharmacy, we can go in and save every company that is using traditional pharmacy hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars for the same exact medications they're using. And we can save consumers money. So we have something called Pharmacy Marketplace. You put in your medication and it shops for you with our partners like GoodRx, like Mark Cuban Cost Plus, and it shops for you and it says, Matthew, you can go to this Walgreens, but if you went over here to that CVS, the same exact drug, same distance from your house, maybe closer, and it might be $5 or $10 cheaper for you. Or there might be a coupon that waives your copay. So that's saving both the company and you dollars. If we go to surgery, we know that the top places that do surgery that we contract with, they guarantee us the lowest rate. But that's not where the real savings are, because I want our best physicians to get paid more. The real savings are preventing surgeries that shouldn't happen in the first place. And our process actually has people get an informed second opinion prior to getting surgery. If they want to participate in our process, that's what they do. That reduces on things like back surgery as much as 25% to the back surgeries. We have an expert, not us, not a payer, an expert get on the phone and say, Matthew, this surgery is dangerous for you. It's not the right thing. I would not recommend it. And two other things, cancer care, getting people the right care and the right experience. And last but not least, weight health, making sure that people are using GLP-1s correctly. All of those are cost saves. And, there's also an administrative save because the reality is, companies like Quantum are charging 2 to 3x what they should be for the services we're providing today. And I understand it. They have a lot of good people who are working behind the scenes to do things. We've used technology to automate that process. And we've also made it so easy. Let me give you an example. If I lost my insurance card, which has happened a few times,
Shocking.
I can simply say to my phone, can you pull up my insurance card? And it's there faster than I can dial a number. I don't need to call somebody, to ask them to send me a new card. I have it real time, all the time, available to me. So everything we do is quality first, number one. Number two, making sure an experience that people enjoy. And that might mean, by the way, touching a key and talking to a person or a doctor or a behavioral health therapist. The other thing I'd say is we now have the largest experience store in the industry. Well, what's an experience store? It's what Accolade used to call their trusted partner ecosystem. And basically, it's saying we will hook in to top players, in digital health, like a Sword or a Hinge. In, across the board, you look at the top providers and we're connected to them, but we're interconnected. So if I want to go to Sword today, on my phone, I can literally be in the Sword system without any second sign-on or anything like that. And it's a two-way exchange. So I'm sending them information, they're sending information back. So you always have, you're in control of your information. Really, really important.
So three related things. Let me start with the first one. You've been in acquisition mode for a while. You have some guy called Hemant Taneja, who apparently has a bankroll and who knows, a general catalyst. You mentioned a bunch of partners, but there are things that probably you probably want to have on board and probably things that you want to partner with. Who knows? Hinges may or may not. We'll talk about the wacky state of the American economy in a minute, but Hinge is planning its IPO, and obviously those companies have been growing fast. But there are a number of alternatives. So you mentioned mental health, you mentioned MSK. Obviously, there are a number of other areas across the board where there are partners. What do you think stays as a partner or you interact with? And what do you think, which areas do you think eventually the new Transcarent will actually take on board, like it's done, for example, primary care?
Yeah, I think you have core services and a core platform, and then you have different experiences, whether different kinds of care experiences. And I think we're less likely to be active in that area. We are very happy having an experience store, and there are great providers out there. So some people love Hinge. And my good friend Jim Pursley, who is president of Hinge, who I actually bumped so you and I could do this interview because we had a call scheduled today. So,
Didn't you get him sued the last time you were? Hopefully that lawsuit got dropped. There was something going on when he left that company to go somewhere.
that
I don't
wasn't
know.
related to me. And our close partners at Sword both provide great experiences. Both of them work. And we want to have close relationships with both of them. So, in clients, I want to give clients more choice. So even in cases where we have a competitive service, for example, in the surgery area, we have a competitive service, and yet Carrum does a great job. I'm not going to second guess Carrum. They do a great job, and people should get to choose what they want to choose. We are not going to give preference to one or the other. We're going to work with both, together. And, that's just how we're going to do it. So not unlike, again, if you go on an iPhone and, you have the App Store, that's the way we look at the future. From an infrastructure standpoint, when we talk about messaging, scheduling, things like that, those have a lot more interest to us, whether it's build or buy. But the ability to be very tightly connected to make sure that the experience for people, for all of us, is seamless. And if you think again, a great example is a bank. I lived through all the stages, stand in line at a teller, then go to an ATM, but not sure if your card would work. But then the card worked, and then it worked everywhere. And then just when you thought you were done, now it's available on your phone, including how do you deposit a check? Wow, you can deposit a check. And so again, that movement of technology, which we all appreciate, but it has to be done right. So we want to save the people to do the most important thing, and that's to talk to somebody, listen to somebody when they need it. And our people will be better equipped to do that, including our physicians and our care advocates, than anyone else in the industry, because we'll have better information and we're investing in that. Relative to, you mentioned General Catalyst. Look, I think General Catalyst is the smartest venture firm in the industry today. And I think they're making strategic investments and value-based investments that really want to. I think, Hemant's vision is to restructure this industry to work like it should, lower cost, better access, higher quality. We've done it in every other industry. There's only two left: healthcare and education. And those are the only two industries where we said, this is too important for business, and this is too important for technology. And look where we are. What we have to do is get refocused on saying we can use intelligent technology paired with the best physicians, nurses, facilities in the world to deliver world-class care and do it at half the cost. And that's a vision that I share with Hemant and a lot of other people. And by the way, people have said, well, you're a disruptor. The reality is, we'll work with anybody. We're working with major payers, leaders like Blue Shield and others, and Premera. We couldn't be more excited to work with the leaders who say experience matters. Let's get the best combination of services out there. Happy to work with them. Happy to work with competitors. You've heard me talk about friends and enemies and frenemies. Sometimes they're all three. We'll compete in one area, we'll collaborate in another, but who's first? The consumer, the health consumer, always.
So on that note, you mentioned the payers. I was going to talk. You said one or two things about some payers that, may not always have been there to their liking. But I mean, when you are now an employer, one of your large employer clients, right? You probably have a ASO. It may be United or whomever, one of the bookers, and they are providing a lot of things that look kind of like some of the things you're providing. They don't seem to be focused on sort of advocacy and navigation so much, but nonetheless, they're there. How are both employers making the choice between what they get from them or what they get from a transcarent? And then how are you advertising, marketing, getting engagement from those consumers, those employees as consumers?
Sure. Well, again, employers will always make the best choice for them, and they're going to consider three things. What's the experience our people are having? Do they love what they're getting today? I think we know the answer to that. Do they love what they got in the last 5 years? Is it getting better or worse? Most people would say the experience is actually getting worse, not better. And so, number one, what's the experience? Number two, what's the quality of care our people are getting? And number three, what does it cost? And heading into a recession, I think everybody's looking at the cost. No one wants to give up quality or experience. And so employers are going to make those decisions. Now, I will say that many employers have said there's just too many point solutions. We love these point solutions, but there's too many of them. And it's adding to the confusion and the complexity and the cost. And so part of what we bring at Transcarent is the ability to say, no, there's one place to go for all your health and care. It's right here. It's on your phone. It's easy. And by the way, logging on is looking at your phone and talking to your phone. That's it. It's the easiest thing in the world. And you can ask any question from send me my insurance card, to find me an endocrinologist in San Jose who speaks Spanish, to I want to talk to a doctor right now, text with them. I want to schedule an appointment for next week. I mean, it's uncanny what you can do today. This is not the future. The future is now. The future is today. And when you look at, some of the companies using it, like an Allstate, like an Apple, top companies in the world, they are giving that experience to their employees. And I think that's where everyone's going to go. So we're happy to work with, and we are working with, partnering with everyone, to do that. So that's, I think, what we bring uniquely. But at the end of the day, individual health consumers should be given choice, and employers ought to be given choice about what they get.
So two follow-ups on that. One is, how are you actually marketing this to the employees and for other consumers? How are people finding out about it? What are the uptake levels you're getting from these leading customers? And then, well, let's answer that one first.
And we have a memory solution as well, if you couldn't remember that second one. We'll work with you on that. Write that down.
I can
On
remember
the
it. So
first one.
let's see if I can remember it after your answer. Well,
But I'll keep it
one of my
short.
recent interviews was like a memory test, which luckily I didn't take. Man, woman, camera,
So
TV.
in terms of your question, each company is different. Some buy our entire platform. Some buy certain of the care experiences. And the same is true for the legacy Accolade clients. Some bought SecondMD from them. Some buy the entire experience from them. So each one is a little different because if you're getting our full platform that includes pharmacy, you're already getting all your prescriptions and interacting with this device every few days because of your prescriptions. So there, our ability to get people to utilize the broad range of experiences we provide is much higher. In cases where somebody might only have one experience, we might ride off of their own communications that they make with employees. They may say, we have a brand new program that makes it easier for you to get high quality surgeries. And they may advertise that. We also, and this is one of the things that Accolade had that was very unique, the ability to do intelligent targeting to say, here's someone based on their medication who should know about these particular services, for example, and you can expose those folks to what's available to them. That's what we do as well. In terms of utilization, again, to be honest, it's all over the board. When we were at Livongo, it was very easy to say 37% all the way up to 50% because it was very targeted. It was one thing. Here, I can say we have 100% utilization at certain clients who actually use us for a pharmacy because by definition, if that's the only way they can do it coming through us, we can do that. But it really is all over the board from, less frequent utilization to much, much more, broad utilization. I mean, if you think about activation, that's typically very rapidly we get a third of the population, 35%. But utilization varies by, what it is. I will say that the retention rate when people utilize us is very high because they like access to the service. And but it really depends on what the service is. Because, certain services you don't want people to use all the time. If you're calling, if you're calling for surgery, you don't want people to use it twice a year or three times a year. You hope they only use it once. And you hope it's a small percentage. So I'd love to give you one number. Sometimes you hear people saying that. If you think about it, it's impossible to do that unless you isolate, although it is possible on point solutions.
Do you have a growth amount once you get into a client for a set amount of time? Do you see a regular uptick? Do you put a number behind that for different types of sessions?
That's for sure. And the thing we do there is word of mouth works very well.
Sure.
There's also some of our clients have financial incentives. So, for example, if you go through our process for surgery, you get a second opinion, you go to one of our preferred providers, then you go to one of surgery may well be our preferred providers, then your surgery absolutely may well be absolutely free. At some of our clients. Free, not free at some of our clients. Not share. And that can be thousands of dollars. And if you think about the economy we're heading into, that's pretty massive. But free, not they want employers want to know, did you get a second opinion? Have you been smart about the way you've done this? Is the surgery going to be done at a high quality place? If so, we'll pay for it because they know we've pre-negotiated it, we've done it right, and they're very careful. And they also know that we don't have a model that pushes people to get surgery. So that's really important as well.
Yeah, and obviously there is. I mean, there are some people talking about, and I don't know anyone's doing it at scale. Actually, giving people some of the savings back that they make, when you because of the variation still in surgery cost and cancer care, and still so much,
I will say that Allstate, when they adopted our system, they actually expanded the benefits to their people based on the fact that they believed they were going to realize economies. And that is my definition of a great employer, which is, hey, we're going to actually do better. You're going to get better information, make better decisions. We'll share that benefit with you. So that, that's the kind of win I think we can create in healthcare.
So the obvious other question is where next? There are a ton of employers and large employers who don't have transcarent. There are obviously a lot of small employers whom we haven't got to yet. And the other place, of course, is Medicare, which has now just started paying actually in fee for service for advocacy or what call it. And at least one company I know, Solace, I think it is, just raised some funding to basically start there rather than start where you are. What's your plan around both Medicare Advantage and standard Medicare, given that those are the most complex and the highest spending patients? and also, frankly, some who have the worst customer experience.
Yeah, I think at this point we're going to stay largely focused on the large, mid, and small employer markets. I think that's where we know what we do. We know they have an enormous need. But I think separately, what I would say is that, we also want to see what's going to happen with Medicare, Medicaid. Our PlushCare model is available in Medicare. So that does give that does give the ability for some people in Medicare to take advantage of this. But by and large, we're going to stay focused there. And you raise an interesting kind of an interesting point, and that is, often people ask me about our competitors. And the real competitor here is the status quo. The real competitor here is people who are not taking advantage of their benefits because they don't even know how to find them. That's what we want to go after, as opposed to trying to focus on somebody else who might be in the market, including people you may have interviewed recently,
Anyway,
who are, by the way, who are friends, who are great and doing great work. And that's the reality is that's what I think we would all agree on, that the real market is the number of companies and the people who don't have access to care. And at some point, I would love to go after Medicare and Medicaid for the reasons you mentioned, that is, we think we can add real value. But I think that's going to be a while.
yeah, I mean, I think it's worth noting that we obviously it's very unclear what's coming out in Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare Advantage, and out of CMS generally, let alone what's coming out of the government generally at the moment. But Oz is now on, Mehmet Oz is on record as saying that everyone should have an AI doctor, and you've kind of got one. So I don't know. I'll dangle that out there. But what I would say is that I suspect that what you're finding is once you get people into the system of understanding they've got the kind of AI, not just using ChatGPT occasionally, but a focused AI assistant to help them get to the right place in care and also get answers. As people do more and more of that, people get more and more comfortable with it. You just got to expect that this is going to become more of the standard of care. There was some interesting data out of Rock Health recently about the increase in the use of at this stage, virtual care and digital health, at more and more, not just in younger age groups. In fact, Jane Saracen-Khan has a piece just recently about this. So, my feeling is that you've got to stay straight to what you're doing, and you've got to grow, obviously, in your same store growth and in your other employers. But I know you. There's some opportunities coming.
Yeah, the beauty is that healthcare is not a political issue. It really isn't. And we're going to keep developing the capabilities. And remember that, care is relative. So if you have no one to talk to because you can't afford it, then an AI doc is wonderful. And right now, the largest number of transactions are related to healthcare are through something called Dr. Google, and that's a billion times a day. The challenge with that is that, one, Google doesn't want to be, they say they don't want to be in the healthcare business. Two, we don't know what that advice is. And so, we all would be wise to be careful about that. So to the extent we can get better, of course, that's where we're going to go. And it's no different than anything else in your life. And we just have to manage that very carefully. We have to make sure we protect that very carefully in terms of how we do that. And even in AI, we have some folks out there saying we're going to build an AI model, but the amount of money, more than $100 million we invested, gave us walled gardens and privacy cues and ambient listening. So if someone talks about suicide, it kicks them out to a person, and all of that safety and security and privacy, to build that in healthcare is actually really difficult. And so that's what you're getting. This isn't about, can you just go to Chat GPT? You can do that. It's just you have no idea what you're going to get, and you could get a hallucination that's downright dangerous. So I think it's a very different kind of approach.
What do you think about the idea? And this is something that I've been struggling with. And if you just go back to General Catalyst, for that matter, 7-wire, which you didn't say was the best VC firm out there. I don't know if you have any colleagues there who may or may not agree. But it's getting clearly the big models like OpenAI, Claude, or the Anthropic, the rest of them are getting much smarter. Even Grok are getting much smarter. And you're starting to see people use them. And yes, maybe the hallucination. They don't have the dedication to healthcare as yet. How do you think the relationship between dedicated healthcare AI plays, such as what Transparent's doing, and these bigger models, how do you think that plays out? Because in the end, we can't all be subscribing to everything, even though it
Yeah.
seems to be
Well,
built into OpenAI's numbers, but
yeah, I think what I'd say is two things. First of all, 7-Wire is very collaborative with GC. 7-Wire is
I know.
focused on
I'm
early
not sure you were
stage.
really berating them.
I know 7-Wire is focused on early stage and does a terrific job there. And we love VC, we love General Catalyst because typically when our companies are successful, their future rounds come from General Catalyst and other great VCs. Having said that, we use, remember, in our system, our basic LLM engines are from a variety of the large players, some of whom you mentioned. We don't want to rebuild the engine. Everything above the engine is what we built. So if you think of a car, most people today wouldn't even know what that engine is inside of their car, but everything else, the safety systems, the cup holders, everything that makes the car a great experience is what they're paying for. And that's the way we think of how we're building. What I would say is don't also underestimate, you get the information, but you also need the experience, which is how does it get managed? How does it get integrated? What's best for you? That kind of personalization, any kind of chat GPT can't tell you. If I go to chat GPT and say, how much will this surgery cost me? There's no way they'll know because they haven't built integration with the accumulator model for my insurance company, which might change. And I don't expect that's going to happen anytime soon. So we're talking about your entire experience of health and care. Some of that is hands-on. If I talk about our cancer program, there at a lot of expense, we're assigning a Lion-certified oncology nurse to stay with you from the moment of diagnosis all the way through to survivorship. Okay, that's called human care. Nobody's replacing that. We're doing it. We're the only ones who have that model. And people love it. Employers love it. Could they save more money not doing it? Yeah, they could. But they actually do care. They just want to understand that there's value when they're spending money. And that's what we're delivering. So, yes, the models are going to get better. We're going to be the primary beneficiaries of that. And, that's what we're going to do. And if you look at our doctors now, step one is removing all the administrative billing, payment, selecting your pharmacy, wasted time that they have to allow them to spend their time efficiently on what they were trained to do, and that is diagnosis, spending time with you. And that's one of the places we'll see this play out.
Yeah, and I think you've been saying for a while, and you're not the only one, that if we get the AI right, that'll actually free up more of the humanity of the doctors, and the sort of
100%.
touching of the hands on the patient and the communication,
Yeah.
which has got lost, as we've known, in the last couple of decades.
Yeah. I mean, look, if doctors are still to this day struggling with Epic and they spend more time in front of that screen than they do looking at the patient. And we've got to flip that around. Really good technology disappears into the background. Now we're seeing some of that with ambient listening. The doctors love it. The patients love it. They both get a record of what happened. I mean, most people, if you went out and surveyed them, most doctors would say ambient listening is the best thing to ever happen in healthcare, which is both sad, but it's wonderful that that's happening because it frees them up and it creates that record for them. And now they have a brief review to make sure it's accurate, much, much better. So that's a great step forward using technology.
All right. Last thing, we've talked a lot about Transcan. We haven't talked about the wider world much. You have some involvement in that, I understand, beyond your CEO job. What do you think is coming along in healthcare or is going to impact healthcare that we haven't talked about and that might surprise people in the next couple of years? Obviously, the jolt from ChatGPT a couple of years ago is now really, as you said, with ambient listening and summarization and stuff like wayfinding is really starting to hit home. What do you think is coming in the next, 2 to 3 to 5 years that that you think, oh, we should have paid attention to that?
Well, there's that quote that says the future is here. It's just not evenly
Roy
distributed.
Amara from
And
the future, yep.
exactly. And so, one, I think wayfinding is the Google or the Amazon of healthcare. And I think, we will see this accelerate very rapidly where people are used to being able to just take their phone and ask any question, ask for scheduling their appointment and do everything that they, and healthcare will become easy. And I really believe that's going to happen. And I think it's going to take off as fast as Google or Amazon have. And it will be not just the benefits navigation, what's covered, what does it cost, and not just the clinical guidance, what should I do, but actually the service delivery as well. Can I get it scheduled today? Or can you help me right while I'm on the phone? Or can we do, and we do it today using your computer or using your phone, actual do digital exams and orthopedic exams with some of our partners and the like. So I think that's going to become the standard of care very quickly. That's one. In the pharmacological areas, I think we're going to see more and more cures coming out. And, GLP-1s, while there's lots of controversy, they are transformational in a variety of ways if they're used and managed properly. And but remember, we're going from a syringe to a pill, and that's going to dramatically change the profile there. So I think we're going to see actual cures start to happen much more quickly. How we pay for them is going to be the challenge. And last but not least, we have to get back to respecting science and data. And, that's not happening right now. We have to get back there because public health is going to need to be rebuilt, to take care of populations, to prevent, the spread of communicable diseases and, pandemics and the like. And we have to have that muscle ready to go. So I think all of that's going to happen. But net-net, I think it is going to be an exciting time because we are going to use technology in the right ways to change the healthcare equation.
It's pretty incredible that we are having a talk in 2025 about respecting science and using it and thinking about public health, given what we went through in 2020 and 21 and 22. But that is the place that we live in. As you said, there's a lot
Yes, it
going on
is.
in that world, which is pretty shocking all around. And fingers crossed we'll come out the other side. All right.
Yeah.
Great stuff. I've been talking with Glenn Tillman, CEO of Transcarent. Glenn, thanks for your time. Great to catch up with you. Great to catch up what you're doing, and very exciting to see the result of the merger with Accolade. So well done.
Well, thanks very much. Always great to talk to you.